Welcome everyone into the B Section podcast, brought to you by the Daily Review and the Morning Times. Back with you this week, I'm Kirk Loveson, joined by always David Goff, Logan Hill. We are knee deep into the preseason with football. We have some other stuff, or excuse me, the postseason. Yeah.
Stop.
I know for you guys, that's a nightmare getting back into the previewing of things, but we are going to preview the matchups this weekend. We lost some teams. There's some teams still going, and then we'll break down everything nationally as well. But before we do any of that, Logan, this episode, we're sponsored by who?
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, even lottery tickets and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, hot or iced, they have it all for you. 7 Elizabeth Street, the Jolly Farmer, it's open 7 days a week. The only convenience store in the area named the Jolly Farmer that David Goff can't find. But more on that
next
week.
He'll get there.
Unreal.
It's, We've been talking a lot about kind of the cold season and the change of weather. And as soon as we say that, we're back in t-shirts and sweating it out. But you can find anything you need from coffee and hot chocolate and cold stuff to soda and
hit the cold fridge.
Yeah, and lemonade and whatever gets it done.
Hit the cold fridge. Enjoy your afternoon before the sun goes down. While we're on the topic of the changing weather, real quick before we get into the nitty gritty stuff, the changing weather burned me a little bit this week. Mm-hmm. It got cold last week for a couple days, and I had a little bit of a ladybug problem getting into my apartment. I got an old apartment, and one of the ladybugs is stuck in my TV.
Oh.
It's flying around the screen every time I turn the TV on. Oh. So it's more annoying than one would
think. The things that go through with your life.
I've told everybody that'll listen about it, so you guys are hearing it here too. I was like, I had it on the other night. I was editing last week's podcast, and I was like, what's that dot moving around the screen? I thought it was like a Roku setting or something like that.
Well, what drives me nuts about it changing back is I'm a very big chili guy.
Yeah.
Love chili season, love making it, love the smell of it, obviously love the taste of it.
Can't feel good about chili in 70-degree weather.
I tend to go with the big cat from Part of My Take theory that you can't have chili until it's consistently below 55 degrees every day. It won't happen for us.
2025.
It won't happen for us. All right, let's talk about some football. Unfortunately, Sarah's season came to an end a couple weeks ago. We lose two more local teams this past weekend. Athens falls to top seed Shamokin. Canton falls to top seed Muncie. Logan, just quickly walk us through the end of those team seasons.
For sure. We'll start with Athens. That was then, like, you hit the nail on the head right there. Both of those teams had to go play the top dogs in their respective classes. And for Athens, it was an unbeaten Shamokin team. 50-7 was the final. Looks like Shamokin was up decent chunk at halftime, and then Athens scored on the final play pretty much.
Yeah, it was like an 85-yard fumble return.
Yep. Keegan Congdon, 85-yard fumble return. Exactly. Zach Fisher hit the kick, soccer player for Athens as well. So really just Shamokin from the word go, not too much to report on it. And one thing I think is important is this was still a step in the right direction season for Athens, and I think David will agree. It was kind of last year, it was the freshman quarterback. Where are we going with this year? They took a step forward. They get that big-time win over Canton early in the season. They finished 5-5 on the year, so it leaves you with a good launching point for next season going forward. But as far as that game, Shamokin did what Shamokin was supposed to do, right? So it was a two-hour trip down for the Wildcats, and then Shamokin didn't make it too fun for him.
That's a true one seed advantage, right? When you talk about the advantage of being the home favorite, getting that home game as the one seed in the first round, that's a true 2-hour trip for the Wildcats. So it played out that way too, for obviously with Shamokin handling their business.
23-0, 29-0 at halftime of that game.
So you have to like Connor Davidson's progression though as a sophomore this season. He's got a chance to really leave his mark on that program still with 2 years left only getting better.
I mean, the next step, it's funny because they improved definitely from last year. They still kind of ended up in the same spot in the district playoff of the last seed and playing the number one seed, just kind of getting stuck with that. Now the next step for them is really just to move up the standings a little bit and not have to face that number one seed.
Time to make that leap.
They also run into the trouble of being a bigger size population school.
Yeah.
They were 3A last year, and this year it went up to 4A. So a lot of those bigger schools are far away.
Right.
So if you're not earning the home field advantage for yourself, you're going to be having a long
trip. I would be interested to know, and I don't know how it all works, but like if they were still in 3A this year, I would imagine they probably avoided the last seed in the playoffs.
I'll pull that up in a second. I was looking at their roster just to see their kind of seniors.
Yeah.
I see one senior. Hold on. This is bad radio, but I'm going to count it down. 1, 2, 3, 4. I only see 5 seniors on the roster, and hopefully that's at least close to accurate.
Certainly the expectations for next season will be the next big
league. You
said
the progression of Davidson. He's also going to have a lot of guys coming back to flank him around him. Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of, now I didn't get to see the sophomore to junior year. As far as I know, last year was Riley Vanderpool's first year as a starting QB for Towanda, but it could follow a similar kind of same kind of archetype of player and with the weapons around them, and if they're able to kind of make each other better, Athens could be in the thick of things here again next year and beyond.
Canton suffers a similar fate. Their season ends against one seed Muncie.
So that one was a tall task. They knew going in. They'd been banged up this year. They were lower on numbers than in years past. And Muncie looked like a first seed. It was Canton got the ball first and went backward on its first 3 plays. Had to punt it away. The punt didn't go too far. Muncie took over. They actually got a holding penalty on their first snap, so they backed up 10 yards, but then 30-yard rushing touchdown to open the game. It was 7-0 super quickly. Canton Abel was able to figure it out. They matched and tied it 7-7. Catch and run by Holden Ward on a pass from Ben Fitch. Made a couple of guys miss, got into the end zone, but then it was all Muncie from there. They scored the next 35 points to go up 42-7 at the half, and then scored a punch in another couple of scores before Canton got one back for the final points of the ball game. So it was just Muncie and Canton, and this predates me, so it predates David as well, but at least up here in the Valley and NTL greater area, Muncie and Canton sounds like they've had battles over the years. It was Canton's time a couple years ago.
Specifically,
when they were running onto
recently,
the state
semis. Muncie's really been in the thick of it,
so
like
this,
you said.
This group of Muncie Indians was looking to check Canton off their list as they're looking to claim
win.
A district title of their own. So in that game, nothing too crazy. 4 different runners, 3 different passers. Canton did break out the only way I can refer to it is the Dallas Cowboys Ezekiel Elliott formation, where it's just the one guy snapping the ball by himself.
Right.
Everybody flanked out.
Very clear.
Yeah, so they went to it, and I asked one of the guys that helps keep their stats on the sideline. I was like, how long does it take to practice a package like this? And he was like, oh, well, we actually started working on it a couple weeks ago. What he didn't tell me is it wasn't just a one formation, one play. They had packages. They ran 2 different plays out of it that night. So that was an interesting, but it was just a good year, a year fought through adversity. I actually was able to attend the old Chew Banquet last night, so I got to see from Troy and Canton. And I remember, I had forgotten about it, but at NTL Media Day, Canton, they talked about every year they pick a word, their seniors, their leaders pick a word. And this year was persistence or persistent.
Okay.
And they kind of met that word in full. I mean, they had injuries across the board. They were replacing a lot of guys that were major, major contributors for teams that ran to the state playoffs for a couple years back. So they stuck around. They were able to finish the season 500 and make it to the playoffs. So it was an up and down year. I'm sure if you ask the Canton faithful, they're going to hope that their defense can bring the scoring that they allowed down next season, but a lot of good things to take away as well.
Sure, Canton will be rooting for Southern Columbia this weekend.
I don't think so.
No, you think you root for your rival?
Yeah, I think there's just so much respect between the two sides.
A little bit
rivalry.
Of pride,
and
too. For the
thing with Southern Columbia is I think everybody that doesn't cheer for Southern Columbia wants to see. I was looking at it last night because I'm working on some preview stuff, and
they're the dynasty.
Well, they've won seven straight. Yeah. They've won 8 of 9, and the one that they lost, they were in that championship game. So,
or maybe a better would be Georgia or Alabama. If you're not a fan of, you're always rooting against them, right?
So, but last night, I think everybody wants Troy to kind of go do the thing. We'll get to that.
Sure. Well, let's get to it now. The preview for this weekend. We got 3 Friday games, 1 Saturday game, 4 teams left. The next round of district playoffs for Pennsylvania. First round of sectional playoffs for New York. Let's start with Friday's game. Let's actually start New York. Let's get David involved here. Waverly, they're going to get Windsor at home Friday night. I had a chance to see Windsor earlier in the season, David, against Tioga.
Yeah.
Tioga was able to take care of them and what was a back-and-forth game early on, but then Tioga pulled away. Of course, we know what Waverly did to Tioga, so all things should point to the Wolverines looking good.
I mean, you love to use the transitive property.
Sure. What's that? Yeah, football math.
Yeah, in high school sports, you almost always want to go to that because that's like the easiest way that you can find context to things. Winters had a good season. They're 7-2. That one loss was to Tioga,
yeah,
who we all know has a pretty good program on its hands.
Sure.
And the other loss was to Shenango Forks, 41-20.
Okay.
So, like, losing those two games aren't like, oh, they were weak or whatever. Like, they lost to two really good
teams. There, right?
So, they effectively beat everybody they were supposed to beat seven times. They lost those two games for 7-2. But again, Waverly is just that powerhouse. They're coming off a 42-10 win over Whitney Point where the second team was in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And again, that transitive property thing, like Waverly, you would think.
The only fear here is what we haven't said out loud yet is everybody's waiting for Waverly Shenango Forks.
Trap game of some sort?
The only thing that could go wrong here, right, is the look ahead. I think Coach Miller and the Wolverines are too dialed in and too good of a program to do that. But that would be just from someone who's not covering it and giving like able to give some type of prediction. The only way this could go wrong if there's some coming out flat and look ahead, I don't see that happening. I'd expect the Wolverines to roll.
I mean, they've given up in the last five. As I was writing a preview for this game, I was looking at everything I could Waverly-wise.
Yeah.
And the last five games, Waverly's defense has given up two touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
And
so impressive.
At least you would say out of those two touchdowns, the vast majority of the people on the field were the second team for Waverly.
Yeah, and we give so much credit, as we should, to playmakers like Watson and the Shaws of the world. That defense and the stat you just gave, big shout out to them because they're holding it down too.
Ben Shaw's a big part of that. He's a linebacker, really good. He was an all-state linebacker last year for them.
Sure.
And he's still doing that. You got Matthias Wells being the front line on both sides of the Waverly is just great.
Do we know who Forks plays?
Lansing, I believe.
Okay. And I'd expect Shenango Forks to take care of business there. So all signs would point to the big sectional final showdown, which will give us some really good content next week.
Yes,
so
good
luck, Wolverines.
Not to pull us back into an old thought, I was able to pull up the PIAA District 4 football standings. If Athens was in 3A this year, they likely would have slotted in as the fourth seed in a 6/17 bracket.
Okay.
That would have sent them to either Mount Carmel 7-3 or Lewisburg 9-1.
Okay.
So it still might have been a tall task.
Tall task.
But
not 10-0, Shamokin beat their rival for the first time in 30 years ago. But back to where we were.
Well, let's go back to Pennsylvania. Towanda gets it done. They're moving on. They're going to be home tonight. They get Warrior Run. What do we know about that matchup coming in?
I'll start with Tawanda's win over Bloomsburg. First playoff win since 2014. First playoff win at home since 2011.
10 years.
Yeah, I couldn't drive a car yet in either of those circumstances. Not to make this about me, but it was one of the more exciting start-to-finish football games I've covered yet this season. It was 14-3 Tawanda early. Riley Vanderpool, 73-yard rushing touchdown on the second play from scrimmage for Tawanda after they get a defensive stop. And then Bloomsburg didn't go away. It was 14-6, and then it was 14-12. And then they scored again and got the two-point conversion that time to go up 20-14. Tawanda, it looked like it might get worse. Bloomsburg got the ball back. Tawanda gets an interception, and they score. Riley Vanderpool, another rushing touchdown to take a 21-20 lead into the locker room. They outscored Bloomsburg 21-0 in the second half to pull away for a 42-20 win. Riley Vanderpool scored 6 rushing touchdowns in that game.
So
he topped his season best. I believe it's a career best
for
him.
Talk about peaking at the right time.
Yeah, so he was the Daily Review's first time, two-time athlete of the week.
All right.
So, I mean, it's hard to pick anybody else when he scores every touchdown.
There's been some big rushing touchdown totals throughout this season. You just said 6.
Jake Brown had eight.
I mean, there's some serious runners out there we get to cover.
On Friday night, I called Logan just to kind of see where everything was at.
Yeah.
And we were on the phone. Logan was like, Riley Vanderpool is such a pleasure to cover.
Yeah. I get it. I hear it.
It's like, what's he going to do to top last week's performance every week? And he makes it look so effortless. And there's a lot of great runners in the NTL.
Yeah.
But, like, you take a Aiden Hunsinger for Wyalusing. He's a bruiser. He's going to come downhill, and he's going to make contact.
There's a different element, right?
And Riley plays quarterback, not running back. But when he goes, sometimes it looks like he's playing on a different surface than everybody else. You can't touch him. You can't bring him down. And he breaks off a 73-yard run. He then added a 30-yard run. I think the next one was from 40 or so yards or maybe 27 yards. They were all, for the most part, longer runs, and he kept counting up on his finger. Once he got to four, he flashed a four to his sideline.
So he's got excited. Some flair to him,
and
too.
And then when he scores the fifth, he flashes the five to his, not to the other team, but
I'm
to
fine
his sideline.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I led my story with, was when he scored his sixth and final touchdown, he would have needed his other hand.
You didn't lead it off with Tung Kanik broke down before things got started?
Bloomsburg, their
yeah, I know, but
down.
I think baseball. Logan had given me a call a couple weeks ago because Tung Kanik had come to town to play Towanda.
Bloomsburg, that Bloomsburg bus broke down.
That was Bloomsburg.
Yes,
I thought it was Tung Kanik.
No, it was the day of the playoff game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking I've got my weeks mixed up. I'm thinking this was before.
No. So David, I don't know. I think I might have told you.
It literally was this team.
Yes.
This is all new information.
So okay. I was sitting in my apartment I was working on some preview stuff on my laptop, and I have a screen in my window, so it was open, and I just hear this like all this commotion, and I hadn't gotten up to look yet, and then it kept going. I was like, are people fighting in the street? What is going on out there? So I get up and I open my curtain, I look down, and there's a bus stuck right at the corner of State Street. State Street's a really steep hill, and it was stuck and it was not moving. They had like some police officers out trying to direct traffic. And I look down and I just see 10 or 15 kids in Bloomsburg jerseys. You got to be kidding me. This was a couple hours before the game, so they all made it there. They made it fine, but they got all the way here. They got all the way to Towanda, and the bus couldn't get up the hill. So I asked the coach afterwards. It got stuck in the road. The bus got a divot in the bus, like a hook in it or something, got stuck in the road. So they started loading kids up five at a time into cars and taking them up the hill.
Yeah, I told Logan his lead should be things broke down for Bloomsburg before they got started.
So I had to write a Bloomsburg style story that night too for somebody down their way. I didn't have time to mess around with getting too theatrical with the lead. And
back
when a kid scores six touchdowns,
it takes over. Story. And going back to that point, my guess, from the outside looking in, it's going to take every bit of that from Riley Vanderpool against this Warrior run team. Yeah. This looks like a tough sled at home tonight, right?
It's going to be. This group is, you reach this point in the district playoffs, you're seeing all good teams.
And you deserve to be there too.
So Warrior run went 6-4. They were the sixth seed. They actually got the upset over Loyal Sock. I was expecting, not knowing much about either of the two teams, I was expecting Loyal Sock to kind of hold their seeding, but this group of Towanda seniors has been waiting for some moments like this. So and Riley Vanderpool is the story. When you score six touchdowns, his name is going to be the first one that you hear. But Sawyer Robinson, who plays linebacker, Various Farrell, Eden Flynn, offensive defensive lineman, a bunch of other guys, Caden Delameter at the running back position, and then in the skill positions, Riley Slider, Tashawn Gardner, Hayden Space, Will Schroeder, who I nicknamed Schroeder Island. He hasn't had as many picks come his way this year, but still, so many guys that have been waiting for some opportunities like this, and you get another game at home. And
so would you say right now, and we're talking on the fly here, and we're not going to try to be bulletin board material for the Black Knights, they certainly don't need it. Would you say this season has exceeded expectations, or do you think this Tawana team expected to be here tonight against Warrior Run in the second round?
I think they probably expected it. The thing that changes it is they had to get the first one out of the way, right? If they were able to get the first one, maybe it gives them the positive momentum they need. But having not done it, having not known anyone who's done it in a decade, you don't know you can do it until you do it. So that second half, I think, really is going to work wonders for them this week getting ready for it. And the last couple of weeks, I've gotten to talk to Coach Jamie Wecker. He said a couple of times, like, it feels like we're ascending now. It feels like we're kind of peaking at this moment in time rather than in like week three. And and he actually said that the other night. He said, if this game was early in the season, first month of the year, we lose this game. And they shut out Bloomsburg in the second half. So I think they're going to give a good game. The atmosphere last week was very good for the home team at home. I wish they would debut like an orange alternate jersey. Sure. You don't do that in the playoffs, though. I'm pulling up right now Warrior Run's just schedule to see what it looks like common opponent-wise. I haven't done my preview story for that yet. But if they win, if Towanda wins, it sets up a game against...
We'll talk about the next one.
...where we're going. So I'm pulling it up right now. Football-wise, Warrior Run a little bit south, but they got to come to Towanda, so... like I said, 6-4 season for them, and now the website doesn't want to cooperate with me.
Nice.
They beat Muncie 28-21 to open the year.
35-7 over Montgomery. There's not a lot of...
Right away, though, that win over Muncie tells you they expect a good program tonight.
They played Bloomsburg in week three of the year. They beat them 38-24.
Okay.
Tawanda beats 42-20 using a transitive property.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of math today.
You like to think it's probably a competitive game. They lost to Hughesville 32-29. Tawanda lost to Hughesville 42-6.
Vanderpool
didn't play. That was week two.
Yeah, that's right. I think we're in for a good one.
You don't like to think one player changes everything, but when the one player was the player of the year last year and one of the shortlist runners to probably be on it again this year.
I think we're in for a good one.
Two really fascinating NTL specific District 4 games.
Well, and before we turn to
the big one.
The big one here. I was driving to the office Friday night. Please put one on Friday. Please put one on Saturday. Selfishly, I want to cover them both because I want to see them play. I want to see how it shakes out. So they're both on Friday.
Well, hopefully, pulling for the Black Knights, Tawanda will give you another opportunity next week. Good luck to Tawanda. Let's talk about the big one, the rematch. The favorite this year, Troy, they will play Southern Columbia, not at Alperon Park. Nope. This game will be tonight in Mansfield. Correct? At the college?
Mansfield University.
Yep.
On turf.
But it's a showdown. This is where things ended last season for the Trojans in a rain-soaked, cold, not, I'm sure, enjoyable from the sideline perspective for you that night, given the weather. Oh, boy. Remember pulling it up on YouTube or something, and I saw you up there in the parka. And
I was dressed right for it. I had on my boots. I had on, I think, rain pants. I had on I was going back through it, doing some preview stuff last night when I got back to my apartment. I thought that game was on a Saturday night for some reason. I hit deadline that night, too. It was a Friday night football game. Yeah. So And then once I thought back on it, I remember just sitting at my desk. I had on these, like... water wicking pants over top of, I'm sure, like layers of tights
dripping on the floor,
pants and just mud all over my legs. But it was at the risk of getting ahead of myself, or maybe for lack of a better term, that's the way I'll phrase it. Troy season starts tonight.
Yeah, this is the unstoppable force meets the immovable object. I mean, this is a collision course that people have been waiting for since probably week four. When you started to see it trending this way again. And here we are. Let the chips fall where they may. What do you think coming into this game?
It's the most excited I've been in my time here to cover a game. Just because of the way that the story has gone. Because last year, first season on the beat, first year covering all these NTL teams. I don't think I saw Troy until like week three or something last year. I could have that wrong, but world beaters. Nobody can stay on the same field with them for the most part. They chug along. They do it in the playoffs, too. I hear about the Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
Big Bad Wolf comes in. We got him at home. It's going to be...
It'll be different this year.
It's our year. Pouring rainstorm. Who's that favor? The team that's been there. Yep. And it goes that way, and it's 14-0. Troy, which had a dynamic offense last year, still has a dynamic offense this year, just couldn't put it together. Their season ends, and... that was the story, right? Is
can they get back?
How do they get back?
Right.
When do they get back? So it's actually, and this will all be, I'm going to have a preview story I'm really excited for coming out. I think I'll have a couple of things, but this one, I really put the bones together for it last night.
It's going to be out there right now.
Go find it. Go look it up online. I'm really proud of this story I put together. About a week short of an exact year, I think the number was 356 days officially because they're meeting in the semis instead of the district final this year, but... this is the moment. They wouldn't say it during the year, but everybody knew this is what they're waiting for, and it's here. Southern kind of stumbled out of the gates. They start 3-4. They won three straight to finish the regular season 7-4. No, that's not right. 6-4. And then they win their playoff games of 7-4. That's how we get there.
The math theme for this pod is just outrageous.
A lot of numbers and not my strong suit. I've made that abundantly clear a couple times. Going through it last night, there are three leading rushers from that game. As far as I can tell, all have graduated. I think the number was about 256 yards rushing and 50-some carries. They've had to replace all that. Quarterback from last year, who didn't have any eye-popping stats. I mean, it was a monsoon, for crying out loud, but he had to be replaced this year. It's hard to go back and check on the lines.
Well, if you're trying to get people hyped up for this game from a Troy perspective and you're looking at this game on paper, this is the year you'd say Troy has the better athletes. Troy, from an athlete standpoint, might get the check mark if you're doing head-to-head.
So just because we haven't touched it their first-round game, they played South Williamsport, a team they beat earlier in the regular season. I was in Towanda last Friday night, but they announced the score over the loudspeaker. It was 42-0 Troy after one quarter.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
Lincoln Kimmicks. I actually got confirmation of how to say the name. Lincoln Kimmicks.
Finally.
Last night. It only took me two seasons. Had two pick sixes in the first quarter last week and caught another touchdown as a receiver. So you like him out wide. Joseph Fry has been a good complimentary piece on the other side of him. Out of the backfield, you can get Mason Smith, Brennan Gilliland, who had another big old shoe contest a couple of weeks ago. He kind of makes the big-time plays in that game. And then Evan Woodward under center.
How big of a game is this for Evan Woodward? I mean,
for this entire class.
This entire class. Yeah, under center for this run and last year's and so on and so forth.
This entire class, they've got, I think I counted up nine last night at the Wednesday night at the old shoe that were being honored. I think that was the number.
It's a good one.
And guys on both sides of the line, guys at the skill positions, guys out of the backfield, guys that make defensive plays, linebackers. So
and again, a reminder for those going tonight, not at Alperon Park. Game will be at Mansfield University on the turf.
Get there early. Get in your seat.
Enjoy.
As far as I know, it's not going to be able to be streamed. So if you had plans to watch it online, you're not going to be able
to. Come out.
Go get there. Whether you're a Troy fan, whether you're a football fan, heck, even if somehow, some way you're listening to us and you're a Southern Columbia fan, this is the game of the year in Class 2A in Pennsylvania. I would say in the entire state.
Yep.
I don't know what other matchups in higher classifications look like. Most of our schools are 2A around here.
A bunch of teams right now from like Bucks County. Yeah, what are you talking about?
This game, Troy has spent most of it, and I base it off PA Football News' rankings, but they've been number one in Class 2A for most of the year. Southern just recently got into the honorable mention category after previously being not ranked.
Their 6-4 record is probably a little misleading.
Their
strength of schedule was super high all year. They played some really tough teams. And
this is a throw the record books out game.
Transition. This game has, if there's a storyline that exists, this game has it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to romanticize it. It's accurate.
So check out, if you haven't yet, get a copy of Logan's preview story out there on Stands Now in the Daily Review. We're going to go to Saturday now.
It's a busy day in New York that day
for
other sports, but
Tioga, the Tigers' quest for another Section 4 Class D championship begins. A quest for what would be a fourth consecutive state championship begins, and it starts in Susquehanna Valley Saturday at noon.
Interesting.
The Tigers do not have a home game to start their first round. Yeah. It'll be in Susquehanna Valley at noon. They will play a team they've already met, the Spencer, Vennett, and Candor squad. What do you think going into Saturday's action, David?
Well, I mean, when Tioga played at Spencer, I think it was like the last week of September. It was a Thursday night game, a little rainy. Tioga gave up the ball four times, but still won the game 28-0. I think Tioga's only gotten better since then.
Protect the ball in advance.
Jake Brown has become their premier running back in a huge way. So I he has something like 1,330 rushing yards for the season. 700 of that came in the last 2 weeks.
Unreal.
So,
do you have any update for us, David? I'm putting you on the spot here. Okay. How healthy is Tioga getting coming into the postseason?
That I'm not 100% sure of. I think...
We know no Shea Bailey.
We know no Shea Bailey, no Brendan Sandoni, which are also two big defensive guys you would like to have. They're good in the running game as well, but defensively it almost hurts them more. And that's kind of been their biggest struggle, just even with the injuries on the offensive side. They've given up more points than usual this year.
I guess we're waiting on updates for Jaden Duncanson,
Logan Bellis,
and Platukas.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what the Platukas situation is. I don't want to speculate what it was. But
see everyone listening, the theme we're going with here is the Tigers got to get healthy and get healthy now, quick to make this run.
The last two games, Lucas Nichols was the quarterback for Tioga, and he did have a touchdown pass last week to Gavin Albrecht, but the week before that they ran for 590 rushing yards and didn't have a single pass in the entire game. So
gotten back to a little bit of that smash mouth.
So
football.
I don't know. Last week, Jaden Duncan said, I know Nick Aiello said he was a game-time decision. He obviously didn't play.
So I assume we're there this week as well.
So he's probably a game-time decision again. Logan Bellis, he came back 2 weeks ago after getting hurt week one of the season. I think they decided, we'll give you another week because they didn't think they would need him. They didn't need him last week against Bainbridge Guilford. They won that game 35-28. interesting note about that game was while Jake Brown had 290 rushing yards, it was 35-28 when Tiger got the ball back with 7:50 left in the game, and they didn't give the ball back.
They can just bleed that clock.
But Tioga, as healthy or barely healthy, whatever it might be, they're playing a Spencer Vanana team that they beat fairly handily with a lot of sloppiness earlier on in the season. You would think they'd be able to get past Spencer on this one.
Yeah, and their chance to repeat as Section 4 champions should they advance past Spencer Vanana. And again, no speculation there. That's a big if. That's why we play the game. On the other side of the bracket, in the other semifinal, following that game in Susquehanna Valley, will be Delaware Academy and Deposit Hancock.
I'm really interested to see how that
should
game
be
goes.
That should be a good one. I'm anxious to hear the turnout for that one. Tioga, of course, falls to Delaware Academy in an absolute barn burner of a back-and-forth game that went all the way down to the final possession or so.
Yeah, it was 41-34. Tioga never led, but was never down by more than a touchdown. Yep.
Deposit came into Tioga later in the year, undefeated, ranked fifth or so in Class D. And Tioga, for the most part, kind of maybe unexpectedly handled them.
Crushed them. The one thing I would say Tioga's like biggest weakness is defensively they're giving up more points, like I was saying earlier, but that was 56-28. I think that was 2 weeks ago. I think that was the Jake Brown 421 rushing yard game. So,
and we have gotten a little lost in how big of a story it could be that this is, again, much like last year and the year before, a quest to repeat.
Yeah.
The Waverleys, the Shenango Forks, the Windsors, they're all out of the way. Those bigger schools from larger classes. This is where Tioga breads their butter, right? Yeah, this is where they're used to and ready to go.
Butter's their bread.
Bread's their butter. So what? Math, English, we could pass the "Are you smarter than a fifth grader?" thing we got going on but
I feel like if you're Tioga, granted you beat one of the other semifinalists, Deposit Hancock, but you're almost like if they can get past Spencer, you're like, give us Delhi again.
Yeah, and I'd like to see that one again.
Yeah.
All right, that is this weekend. Playoffs in full swing. Do we want to touch on any other sports we got going on before we jump into some national stuff?
The only other one I have that I don't think we touched last week, Northeast Bradford Volleyball had its first state playoff game. They went down 3-2. It was a super exciting volleyball game.
They beat Canton in the district final, right?
Canton in the district final. We got there last week, I'm pretty sure. So just this week, they had to go to Mountain View. That was where I drove straight to Tuesday, coming back up the road. I was home last weekend. They were down 2-0 quickly. Mountain View would look like they were going to pull out a sweep on their home field or home court. Silly me. This is a team. These two teams played to start the regular season. NEB swept them 3-0. So quickly, they were down two. Mountain View was up 2-0. Northeast Bradford fights back, makes it 2-2, forces a fifth and final set. Mountain View wins 17-15.
Wow.
It literally could not have been any closer. So, great season, a great couple of years for the volleyball program there. Really, I mean, two state playoff appearances in back-to-back years, but comes to an end on Tuesday, and that was the last team outside of the two football teams left standing in MTL, Bradford County.
David, you got some soccer volleyball notes?
Yeah, well, I alluded to earlier that Saturday is a busy day in New York, sports-wise around here, because at noon is that Tioga football game. At noon at Union Endicott, Waverly Girls Soccer is in a state playoff game for the first time ever against a team to be determined. They're playing the winner of two teams on Thursday night. And Waverly won the section final for the first time this past Saturday in Oneonta against Shenango Forks. They won that game 2-0. Gianna Soprano scored with 7 minutes left in the first half, and then within the first minute of the second half, Caitlin Tweet scored, gave them the two-goal cushion. They were able to really just kind of relax the last 40 minutes because they had that two-goal cushion.
Took care of business early.
And it was an interesting game because both Waverly and Forks are used to playing all their home games on turf. And this Oneonta soccer complex that had like four or five soccer fields within it, slope, grass, and a little bit of rain.
Probably hasn't been mowed in a while.
There was no clock on.
Yeah.
It was mowed. Oh, okay. Fair.
I thought they'd maybe go with the advantage.
But there was no clock on the scoreboard. The score wasn't even being kept on the scoreboard. It was kind of just the interesting setup for a section championship game. But Waverly beat Forks 2-0. They beat Forks 1-0 and 2-0 in the regular season. They just kind of handled business in that one. So now they kind of await the Thursday winner between the two teams. I don't have written in front of me, but they're awaiting who they're going to play on Saturday at Union Endicott at noon. See if they can get punched our ticket to a semifinal the following week.
All right.
And then volleyball-wise, it is we still have to wait and see because right before after we record this on this Thursday, Tioga Volleyball is hosting sectional pool play as a number one seed in Section 4 Class C volleyball. And the two teams that come out of that four-team pool play will be playing at Tioga at 11 a.m. on Saturday for the section championship. And so there's a possibility that there are three teams from the Valley playing all at once on Saturday. Which I we got Dave Post said he's going to cover Tioga football for us. I think Logan might be able to chip in as well, and I'm going to be somewhere as well. Nice. So there will have all three of those
fully staffed on a Saturday is a good sign for November.
Morning times, Logan.
Yeah. That's what I would do if I was a coach for a soccer team on a grass field. When the turf teams come to play me, I'd leave that grass just a little unmowed for the game. I mean, really slow to pace down.
I mean, it was different for both teams because both teams are turf field teams. Yeah, they had to go, and it was just ironic that for all this season, a good season for both teams, they had to play a championship on grass on a little slope.
For football,
it
too.
It's almost miraculous how much of a different game soccer can be playing on a turf versus on a grass field.
Absolutely. So I would say even, like, not to get too far into it, but like the first 20 minutes of that game, Waverly just felt like they were trying to find themselves on that grass. And then they finally scored, and then it became their game. But, yeah.
All right. Copies for previews of tonight's games and Saturday's action are on stands right now in both the Morning Times and the Daily Review. Logan and Dave have done a great job, so please get out and get yourself a copy and support them. And please get out and support these athletes and your community this weekend. Postseason, it's fun in any sport, and we got some really good ones that can be played this weekend. So get out there and check it out. Just going through the schedule real quick again. Friday night, Troy versus Southern Columbia at Mansfield University. Towanda is home against Warrior Run tonight. Waverly is at home tonight against Windsor. And then Saturday, Tioga versus Spencer Van Etten is at noon, and it's at Susquehanna Valley. So get out and check out some good action. Before we get into the Philly Minute, Logan, tell us about our sponsor, the Jolly Farmer. Not to be confused with the Ohio State Buckeyes that took care of the Nittany Lions.
Relax. We'll get there. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week.
All right, Philly Minute, 76 seconds on the clock. The gift that keeps on giving from David Goff. This, I would imagine, if I had to guess, will be an NBA-style 76er minute. Here we go, on the clock, 3, 2, 1. David, hit us.
Sadly, Kirk, you are correct.
I knew it.
I don't like that this is the third Philly Minute in a row in which the Sixers are involved, but... A lot has happened with the Sixers in the last week. One where Embiid has shoved a reporter, kind of justifiably so, because that reporter mentioned his son and dead brother in the lead of a column. And Embiid got suspended 3 games, which also understandable. Yeah, Embiid has a right to be upset. Can't really touch a guy. He's suspended 3 games, but that's also kind of a favor to the Sixers. Like, Embiid's trying to rest all the time. He just gave him 3 extra games. All
right. He could use
that's
it, right?
That's what they're saying. The punishment should have been he had to play 3 games.
He had to play it.
But they're 1-6. Maxey, before this podcast, recording of this podcast, has just been announced he's going to be out for a couple weeks with a hamstring injury.
Yikes.
It is just tough in the Sixers world right now.
Not the start you were looking for.
Paul George has been back for a couple games. He looks okay, but it's just... Sixers are brutal.
Miss Tobias Harris?
No.
So I think, obviously, Embiid's the big story, but I think also the optimism that I'm sure was there for 76ers fans coming into the season with the acquisition of Paul George and how he could fit with Embiid and the balance with Maxey. George doesn't start the season in the lineup because of injury. Embiid shut down to start the season, and now Embiid's suspended. Maxey goes out when George is finally in, and you're 1-6. It's
1-6. Like, I was the 1-4 start. I'm like, okay, they're going to be fine. 1-6 is gradually
not
being
great.
Like,
historically,
number,
not
number
great.
15 in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah. They're not good. It's scary because, like, when Embiid does return, which sounds like it's going to be for the first in-season tournament game against the Knicks, I don't want to imagine he's going to look good in the game.
Yeah, he's going to need so time to get back in the system. And
Maxie's out. So, like, that 1-6 start could turn into something even worse, and the playoffs might be a question. I don't know. It's a tough look right now. It's frustrating.
One last NBA tidbit before we go to college football. How quickly we forgot, despite all of his off-the-court stuff, how exciting Ja Morant can be to watch play basketball.
He's this generation's Derrick Rose.
It's insane.
If he can stay on the court and not miss time because of other stuff,
yeah,
he might win an MVP.
That explosiveness, that athleticism, that creativity, and he puts it all into one cauldron and stirs it up, and it's just really fun to watch. Saying it's really fun to watch Grizzlies basketball in this area of the country, that shows you what he's doing. College football, the first playoff bracket has come out. First year with a 12-team playoff. First year where I was actually looking forward to the debut of the rankings because we get a bracket and you can kind of look at it from that March Madness style of looking at things. They had seedings. They had the first team out, the second team out. Really cool stuff. And right away, Logan, hit us with the actual bracket, the 1 through 12 with the matchups. Give me the first four byes.
First four byes is number 1, Oregon. Number 2, Georgia. Number 3, Miami. And number 4, BYU.
Okay, so does any of those four, what strikes you the most?
BYU is just interesting to see up that high.
So they're
doing good. But
they're obviously with the bye because the Big 12 if it ended right now, they would be your Big 12 champion.
8-0, ranked number 9th in the country, I believe.
Currently. The most fraudulent, I think, in that four is Miami because I have watched 4 weeks now. Miami try to basically give away games.
Probably their fans don't even care because their home crowds are very small.
They've given up
big
leads.
There's so much more to do in Miami. I think the Dolphins run into a similar kind of issue.
Yeah, but obviously the 2020s Miami Hurricanes are not the 80s and 90s for you. So
the one thing they do have going for them is they may have the Heisman front runner in Cam Ward. But I've seen them get behind by a bunch and have to come back against teams like Cal.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's some
I can't believe Cal blew that.
All right, give me the first round matchups.
Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio State, Boise State, Texas, and Alabama. And the big one to people around here, Penn State, Notre Dame.
Ratings heaven is what that is. If you get Penn State, Notre Dame in the first round of the first ever college football 12-team playoff, that is ratings galore.
Yeah, it's the perfect start to the college football playoff.
Absolutely perfect. I love Alabama, Texas to kick things off, too.
That's a national championship rematch of 2009.
Great first round matchups in there. And then give me the other byes. Is Ohio State in there?
I said Ohio State.
Okay, they're the first.
That was everybody.
So the only byes are the first four, right? Yeah, and then it's the first round. And who's the first team out, they're saying? I believe is it SMU?
I don't have that in front of me. But
SMU sounds right.
I think it's SMU's the first team out, and the second team out is Texas A&M.
Okay.
Which both makes sense. SMU's had a really good year.
Really good year.
And if they continue, they probably get in.
And they're going to SMU's going to probably end up getting Miami in the ACC championship game, which is not something you'd imagine going into the season.
SMU, Texas A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Iowa State, Pitt, Kansas State, and Colorado. That's your top 20.
Colorado still has something to say about the Big 12 as well.
The cool thing about this, too, is that like you have the teams that are projected to be the top four byes. They have to win one specific game to be there. So like you don't have a clue who's going to be the top four until the conference championships are done.
And if I remember doing this at a quick glance, but I wanted to say Ohio State's their victory over Penn State this past weekend, getting the fifth seed actually lends itself to a nice path throughout the playoff because give me Ohio State's path, Logan, when you got it right in front of you.
The way this looks like it's set up, they would go if they were to beat Boise State.
So they'd get Boise State, the greater five, champion. Yeah. That's a great first draw.
Then you get BYU in the next round.
Maybe the worst of the four byes.
Then you would have Oregon in
a rematch
semis
of a team you're familiar with.
That you lost to by 1 point.
Yeah, Ohio State's path, I would say, leaps out to me as the best path of the top five.
All I know is Penn State fans got to be hating the fact that this is only the first year of this playoff. Because they would be in, if this was a playoff for the last 10 years, they'd be have the most playoff appearances of anybody in the country.
Yeah. So that's your college football
bracket.
Talking
about Penn State bores me.
I mean, I don't disagree. But
it's the same thing every year. But
well,
yeah.
Maybe it's different this year.
Losing to Ohio State was kind of written already.
Coach Franklin.
I did pretty much watch that entire game Saturday, start to finish, and it was a very exciting game.
Well, Coach Franklin's seat is about as hot as a seat could possibly get right now with another loss.
And at the same time, I don't think they get rid of him.
Yeah.
What was big for them is even with the loss, they have plenty left on the table.
Probably going to be 11-1, which is better than their usual 10-2. Because Michigan is not that good.
It's going to be a very exciting. It's going to be a very exciting November in college football.
Yeah, and if Ohio State, if it went the other way and Ohio State lost to Penn State, that's two losses. You're out of the Big Ten championship.
Yeah,
you're looking at a much tougher climb. Penn State's still all out there on the table for them. They just got to finish up this season, and yeah, if that ends up being Notre Dame in round one, that's. That's just some classic football.
That's got to be what, like a 7 o'clock Saturday night game, you would think.
Yeah, and I remember the big. I don't specifically remember. I was very young, but when Penn State and Notre Dame met in the Snow Bowl in 1992, one of our ad reps here at the Morning Times, John Eppers, who graduated from Notre Dame, was at that game, and he was kind of telling me and running it back a little bit in his brain and how that could be played once again in November or December or whatever this year, and how it could be potential round two of that. That'd be pretty crazy.
I had no idea he was in Notre Dame.
That game would be in Penn State because the first round games are all home games for the team, the higher seeded team.
Yeah. So, it's Penn State still staring down a home playoff game is not bad for losing Ohio State. So.
Well, they went from, 3-6 or something. Yeah.
Let's go NFL to finish things up and get everyone out of here so they can go enjoy their weekend. Locks. I nailed that Ravens one.
That was
the easiest lock in
history.
Did
you listen to our podcast last week?
Of course I didn't.
Okay. So I gave the Ravens lock, and then you texted Logan, and Logan's like, David, you're going to like this.
It was the easiest lock we had.
So I was there.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, it was really just never a contest.
This Derrick Henry thing turns out like it's going to work.
He was unhappy with how he played last week, and he had more than 100 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Oh, so.
Turns out he's pretty good still, huh? Let's get into some locks for this week.
I forget who. Oh, I had Minnesota last week.
Yeah, you had the Vikings.
Knew it. So I'm riding kind of a hot streak. I think I have one loss on the year.
Things are going good.
You still have that on the back of. Is that not the same pad of paper?
No, I don't have the records here.
We'll find
I'm
it.
Undefeated. I do know that.
I think David is as well.
You have one loss.
One loss, I believe.
Let's dive into our schedule for this week. You got a big one. Speaking of Ravens, Bengals coming to town.
Should be a high-scoring thriller. The Ravens are wearing purple helmets, all purple jerseys.
Jerseys are
interesting. That's going to have already happened by the time.
Yep.
I didn't know that was a Thursday night game.
It's already going to have happened. I don't believe T. Higgins played. So
you want me to start with my lock?
Sure. You got one?
Yeah, I got one. I'm going with old Jimmy Harbaugh. Give me the Chargers hosting the Titans. The Titans stink.
I'm going to put a ban on picking against the Titans.
I was going to say at the end, you beat me to it at the end. I was going to say last week to pick gimmies over teams that could be top five in the draft.
Yeah.
I like that.
So going forward, you cannot pick a lock. If that team is playing a team that is currently set to have a top five pick in the draft.
Okay, so that's even further.
I like that.
Than I thought.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is the last week to try to get yourself nicely situated, and I'm going to go ahead and take.
You guys are trying to make the B-section championship game. Yeah. I need you guys to take a loss somewhere.
Give me the Chargers over the Titans at home. David.
So here's the thing is I was. Kirk and I are on the same wavelength lot of the time. Here's the problem, though, is before we made that rule just now, I already had switched because I didn't want to do the Titans. I've already picked against the Titans multiple times. I just don't want to
take one more layup.
You know what that's called? Wait, actually, what's your pick?
I don't know. Okay. This is an interesting one. It's definitely more risky, which is why I don't know if I want to. Now this is the final week we can do the Titans yeah, thing. But I'm going to go bold this time, and I'm going to go Steelers over Commanders.
Oh, wow. That is bold.
Kirk, you know what that's called? Integrity. You should learn something.
I have none of it. I play to win.
Look, the Eagles fan of me wants to see the Commanders fall down a little bit.
I was going to say, this is an Eagles pick, right?
It's kind of an Eagles pick. I want to see the Commanders fall down a little bit. I want to believe that they're not easily winning games. The Steelers with Russell Wilson, kind of good.
So as an Eagles fan, you kind of need the other Pennsylvania team to take care of business for you.
I
like it.
Yeah.
Logan.
I will go with...
You can't drop one here. You got to stay. I know. Keep pace.
But the problem is I love to pick a good game, and I think I'm going to go Cardinals over Jets. 425 on Sunday. Cardinals have played a bunch of wacky games this year.
Sneaky, not bad.
Home game for them. Sneaky, not bad team. And I think the Jets are still dysfunctional. Yeah. And so I believe the Jets won last week. I forget who they played, but...
Texans.
They won Thursday night over the Texans. Yeah. But give me the Cardinals over the Jets, a game that they kind of need in the thick of things. They're 5-4. Over the 3-6 Jets, so maybe I'm in your boat of picking the Titans, but I haven't picked against the Titans every week like somebody sitting across from me. So give me the Cardinals 4 o'clock.
I made the rule.
The New York Jets.
So. All right, that does it here for us on the B Section podcast. Once again, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do to both the Morning Times and the Daily Review if you want to get more of Logan and David's great coverage. They have previews out for you right now for this weekend's games. And if you didn't have plans tonight or this weekend, get yourself out and see some great postseason football action. Plenty of it. Four teams some left that we cover.
Really good options.
And some great options.
Whether it's Mansfield University, Tawanda,
Susquehanna Valley,
or Tioga on Saturday. There's a lot of good football being played around this area right now.
Check it out and check us out next week, same time. We'll see you then.